Well, effective interpersonal communication is what we're talking about for starters, because there's also, as you know, mass media communication. There's all forms. So we're talking person-to-person communication. And for that to be effective, there has to be shared meaning. What I mean to say and what I say and what you understand me to mean, it's shared. We both understand. With patient care, this is really important because in order to give the best patient care, you have to understand the person's experience, because patients don't read the textbook.
And once you have that understanding, it's about them putting that into actual practice and working alongside with other staff, or just working with the patient to receive, or so to make sure that they receive the care that they need.
Well, in the first instance, it would be working with the patient. You know, the buzzword in contemporary healthcare is patient-centered care or person-centered care. So for that philosophy to be enacted, we need to know who that person is. As a person, not just as a patient, not as a set of symptoms or a disease or a treatment plan, but rather as a person. So on that level with the patient or person, that's where that communication is important. With colleagues, what's critical, again, is that shared understanding, that shared meaning, and what's called a shared mental model, so that we're all operating in the same framework to understand this patient's care. Now, each member of that healthcare team will bring a different perspective, a different understanding, a different disciplinary background. So what's important with the colleague interaction is that each member of the team brings their bit of the puzzle, as it were, to the table, but it has to be able to be put together in a coherent way. And we know that communication is one of the number one causes of adverse patient events, referred to often as sentinel events, which are events that could have been avoided, that when you go back and review them, which is what we do, and look at what happened, it's often that there was some form of miscommunication, poor communication. And that could be, you know, the wrong information being given that isn't clear, people don't understand it, it's incomplete. There's a whole varieties of where things go omitted, and that's what can cause serious events, like amputating the wrong limb.
You put that into one kind of example, but what are other barriers that I guess nurses or medical staff may face, to put it into an emergency context? Because you can have that shared communication, I guess, outside of emergency, but then when you get into someone's being rushed into the hospital and you have to be the nurses or whoever has to be conversing with the person who's come in with that, and then with other staff, it seems like in that scenario everything would be thrown up in the air and you just have to grab the pages as they fall back down.
Well, okay, good metaphor. What happens in an emergency situation, even if it isn't life and death, if it's just simply somebody's come in who has a long-term cardiac history and is experiencing some sort of cardiac event, not life-threatening, but serious enough? So the information about that person, that patient, will be in a variety of different forms in a variety of different places. One place the information will be is obviously inside the clinician's head, and they'll talk. But the other place that information is in the written documentation. We're moving toward electronic medical records, which should help to ease some of these problems. But at the moment, if it's still reliant on a paper documentation, the patient record, that record could be anywhere in the emergency department.
Yeah.
And maybe not with the patient, maybe with the doctor who's writing orders in it, maybe with the nurse who's documenting nursing care. You probably wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of time is spent looking for the record. Then the record has to be read. In our emergency study, we had doctors say to us overtly, "I don't have time to read the nurse's notes." So the nurse thinks he or she is communicating something to the doctor by putting it in the notes, but then if those notes aren't read. Likewise, if a doctor puts a medication order in a patient's record that needs to be given stat or right away, if there's no indication to the nurse that that order's in the chart, what happens is the doctor puts it in, walks away, comes back and says, why hasn't this medication been given? Well, I didn't see it. The record wasn't here. Those kind of situations where information isn't put in, well, it's put in one repository in that sense, in the patient record, but it's not equally accessed or accessible to everybody.
You were saying that there's still a lot of work to be done to ensure more efficient communication between anybody in that medical realm. So what's the next thing that you think medical professionals should be being taught to kind of fully equip themselves to communicate efficiently in these situations?
Well, I suppose in a way it is linguistic in the sense that there has to be a shared common language and a shared way of communicating. Quite a few years ago, in a study that I did, I looked at patients in intensive care, another high-stress environment, who became confused. Now, at any given time in an intensive care unit, about 80% of patients are confused. Nurses would notice something in a patient and try to communicate that to the doctor. They would notice that the person was not attending to them, not paying attention to them, which is a cardinal symptom of delirium. But the way they communicated that to doctors didn't understand because they communicated it in a way that would just say, that patient's just not with me. They're not here. They're not with me. From a doctor's perspective, there was no frame of reference to understand what that meant. Other nurses knew, whereas had the language been the language of clinical language to say, this patient is demonstrating signs of severe inattention, and I think what's going on is that they're confused or perhaps delirious. Had that been communicated in, I would call it nursing language, because nurses understand it. Doctors didn't understand what the nurse was trying to communicate, and therefore just didn't follow through because they couldn't figure out what it is they were being asked to do. And that's why it's so important that people learn how to clarify, is this what you're saying? Do I understand this? And in a healthcare setting, it's often difficult to say, I don't know, because the stakes seem too high. I've heard doctors say to each other, you cannot not know. You must know. It's your job to know. So if I had to clarify, I could potentially feel like I'm saying, well, I don't know or I don't understand. And nurses sometimes do it too, as well. They pretend as if they understand something when they don't, protecting their own sense of competence or...
Or in an attempt to not reflect poorly on themselves.
Exactly. So it's much better to err on the side of caution and say, I'm just not sure I understand, and perhaps cop somebody saying, well, that's because you're stupid or something like that, rather than let a patient suffer as a result of that misunderstanding.